us in private.
Well, I just didn't feel it was my place.
No, your place is on network television.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So this past Wednesday, we lost TV icon Mary Tyler Moore, star of The Dick Van Dyke Show and The Mary Tyler Moore Show, at the age of 80. Moore was born in 1936 in Brooklyn. The family moved to California when she was around 8. She began dancing lessons as a child and launched her career while still in her teens, appearing in TV commercials. In the mid-50s, she was dancing as the happy Hot Point girl in the Hot Point appliance ads. One of her early TV series roles was as a secretary who was unseen except for her legs on Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Moore gained fame in the 1960s as a frazzled wife, Laura Petrie, on The Dick Van Dyke Show. In the 70s, she created one of the TV's first career women sitcom heroines in The Mary Tyler Moore Show. She won 7 Emmy Awards over the years and was nominated for an Oscar for her 1980 portrayal of an affluent mother whose son is accidentally killed in Ordinary People. Dick Van Dyke and Moore appeared together in several TV specials over the years, including The Dick Van Dyke Show Revisited. Roger, do you remember that one? It was when she...
No, I don't remember that one, unfortunately. It was probably a lot older.
It was in the 2000s, and they rebuilt the set, and they played Robin Laura Petrie, and Sally Rogers was there, and Alan Brady, and they wanted Dick to write something for Alan Brady. Or his eulogy when he died or something like that. And it was a special, and it was also flashbacks. If you see it online, it was called Dick Van Dyke Revisited.
I remember I found that other show. I think you might have seen my posting the other day of Mary.
Yeah.
Which was a show after the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yeah, she starred in two different programs called Mary. One was a comedy variety hour similar to the Carol Burnett Show, lasted only a few episodes. It was with David Letterman and Michael Keaton. In that episode, David Letterman was very awkward in that. He always showed those clips. Those are also online as well. And then there was the Mary Tyler Moore Hour. The second Mary was a sitcom in which Moore played a divorced Chicago newspaper columnist. Mm-hmm. But that was in about 6 months that was canceled. But on the big screen, she was not seen as frequently. She was in Thoroughly Modern Millie in 1967. And she was a nun who falls in love with Elvis Presley. In Change of Habit in 1969. But, I know you would agree with me when I say there isn't a lot of people that you would raise a glass to Mary Tyler Moore. You think about the Lucille Balls, the Jackie Gleasons, the Jack Bennies. These are really Bob Hope, very special people, including Dick Van Dyke, Carol Burnett, and so forth. So when you see someone like Mary Tyler Moore, it actually brings back memories for just about every generation.
Yeah, very iconic characters that she played, and iconic actress who played those characters.
That's exactly right, exactly right. All right, we're going to first talk to Carl Reiner. And by the way, he did 25 interviews this week, 7 live TV interviews out of that. So I didn't want to completely bug this guy too much. He's actually got a new book coming out, and he said we'll talk a little longer in April, but I asked him about casting Mary Tyler Moore for The Dick Van Dyke Show.
And the only one that was difficult to cast was Mary. I said to Sheldon, I don't know what I'm looking for. I saw about 30 girls, 23 girls, actually, and one girl we flew in from New York, Eileen Brenner, a wonderful actress, but she was a little strong for Dick. They didn't seem to hit it together, so we told Sheldon, we told Danny Thomas, who put up the money for the show, that we spent this money. And he said, who was that girl with the three names who came to audition for me for the part of my daughter? He said, she was wonderful, but her nose went the wrong way to be my daughter. He tilted up, mine tilts down. And he said, she was on that Richard Diamond show. She played the secretary. All you saw were her legs. With that piece of information, I found it was Mary Tyler Moore. I called her in, and she was reluctant to come. She had a bad week auditioning and not getting jobs. And she stood there. She walked in the office, and I saw this vision, beautiful girl standing on these beautiful legs. And I said, read this. I gave her one line, one page. She read the top line. I said, wait, hold it. I heard a ping in the voice the way I described it. I made my hand into the kind of claw that's in the penny arcades that pick up candy, and the machines. And I I with the claw, I walked across the room. She looked frightened, like I was going to do something. Grabbed the top of her head like I was picking up a candy ball. And I said, come with me, young lady. And I walked down the hall, and I said, Sheldon, you're right. I found her. And I unleashed her in front of Sheldon. And that was how we found Mary.
And that's how you found Mary.
The legendary Carl Reiner. Let's look back at my interview with the legendary Dick Van Dyke, talking about working with Mary Tyler Moore.
Dan, Rosemary were already cast in the show. They weren't in the pilot, but they were cast for the new show. How great. What amazing talents to be able to work with, right?
I've never fallen into such a perfect blend of a performer. We were like an improv group.
Yeah.
God, they were good. It was such fun.
That's awesome. And I know Mary Tyler Moore was, what, 23 years old at the time when she was auditioning?
I was 12 years older.
Wow.
I said, God, I didn't feel a little young. But the funny thing is, on the 5 years, nobody ever said, isn't he a little for her?
Well, and the chemistry was amazing between the two of you, but at first you weren't sure she could do comedy. I mean, that really wasn't her background, but she really did show everybody she could do it.
I know. Even she didn't know she could do comedy.
Yeah.
She was just, her time, of course, she had Rosie and Maury and Carl Reiner, a lot of people who knew what they were doing. And it just rubbed off on her.
Well, That's My Boy, which was a hysterical one. It was when Rob recounts why he believed Laura and him brought home the wrong baby, and then the door opens up to the couple.
In all my years, that's the longest laugh I have ever heard. We had to cut the cameras. And just they laughed for I don't know how many minutes. And everybody said, you know, the audience will be offended by this. I've never heard such laughter. And that, today it's a classic.
Well, it was done with respect. It was done with grace. I mean, it was done the right way.
Yes, true. Yeah, you know, Carl had one thing. He had good taste.
He did. He did. And, you know, this is the other thing that I always find fascinating. From sexuality point of this, Rob and Laura were always very flirty together, but they always slept in separate beds. And my kids always ask, like, don't they have a son? Like, why is the nightstand in the middle of it? I don't understand that. You know, but that's what you had to do back in the day.
I really got pissed off at Bob Newhart because he and his wife got to sleep in a double.
That's true.
And I would say, why is it that you get that?
Exactly.
The network wouldn't let us.
Yeah, that is bizarre, mighty bizarre. But here we have five incredible seasons, 158 episodes. And I heard you knew all along that you were going to go five seasons, and you knew the whole time that was it.
Carl said at the outset, you know, so many shows have gone twice that long, but he felt that you kind of became repetitive, you know, and kind of caricatures of yourself. But look at Seinfeld went for, what, 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he wanted to go on to other things. And also, you may get tired of he was still carrying an awful lot of the load, even though we had very talented guys. He would hire new writers and train them and just say, it doesn't matter how ridiculous it gets, if it's credible, if it could possibly happen.
Sure.
And everybody always stuck to that credibility.
The legendary Dick Van Dyke. And about a decade ago, the Archive of American Television interviewed Mary Tyler Moore about her favorite moments on The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, there were some key episodes for me. As I said, when I went on the show, I had nothing but a dramatic background. I'd done dancing and singing and silly things, and I loved musical comedy, but I didn't know what I was doing. And early on, Carl saw some spark of humor in me, and he wrote a script called My Blonde-Haired Brunette. And that was an episode where Laura, after having felt that Rob was no longer attracted to her, decided while he was at work she was going to bleach her hair blonde, and did it, and it looked horrible. She looked like Harpo Marx, and she tried to get it, with Millie's help, get it dyed back before he got home. And she ended up getting only one half of her head done brown, and the other half was still blonde. It's a license we can take that Carl gave us. And Dick walks in the door and sees me and just bursts into laughter. And he comes over and puts his arm around me as I start crying. And he wants to know why, what happened. And then I try to tell him in a funny kind of crying way, what happened. And it was just because you in the morning you said that I am, and then the yucky and the eggs that spilled, and then you didn't love me, and I didn't. And it was very funny, and that proved that I could handle comedy.
The legendary Mary Tyler Moore. More on Mary, who passed away this week at the age of 80. Next on 720 WGN.
Yes, Mr. Grant, I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk.
Hey, player, back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking about the legendary Mary Tyler Moore, who passed away this week at the age of 80. Let's look back at my interview with Gavin McLeod, who played Murray Slaughter on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and how he got the role.
The agent calls and said, Mary Tyler Moore is doing a pilot, and they want to see you. I said, oh, great, I love her. And he said, so I'll have them send you the scripts. I said, terrific, Alex. So they sent me two scripts, the pilot and then Rhoda's mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I read them both, and they really knocked me out. I said, this writing is something else. And then it had on the cover of the first page, Gavin, the part of Lou Grant.
Right, right, right.
And so I started reading it with Lou Grant in mind, and no, I wouldn't believe myself in that. No, I don't.
You knew it.
I wouldn't believe myself. Nobody else would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe myself as Ted Baxter. But this little guy, Murray, you know, I think maybe I can do something with him. Even though he's not the biggest part, he's the third guy. That didn't bother me. I just thought I could really do something with this character. And so I went in to see the producers, Ethel Winant, the first female vice president of a big network. And she really fought to get that show on, by the way. And I did all the Lou Grant readings, and we had a wonderful time. And I had my hand on the door, and I said, you know, you guys, I really like the part of Murray Slaughter. You do? Because I was doing guest star big roles, and they didn't think about me for that. I said, yeah, I think I and Jim said, can you read? I said, sure, let's read. So I read for it, and I got some laughs, and I said, well, good luck with the show, you know. And then I went out, and I ran into Ed Asner. He was pacing back and forth. I went to rehearsal, and about 3 hours later, my agent comes over, and he waves to me, and so we had a break. I said, what's up, Alex? And he said, they want you to do the Mary Tyler Moore pilot. I said, oh, wow, is that fabulous? What part? He said, I don't know. Is there a guy named Murray in that?
Oh, that's great.
I said, there sure is. And that was the beginning of that.
Wow. And did you, first of all, you keep running into all these bald guys, obviously, that you're doing business with throughout the years between Rickles and everybody. How did Ted get on the show now? Was that a recommendation
Ted
by yourself?
Ted was the last one cast.
Yeah.
Ted Baxter was supposed to be a young guy.
Okay.
And they saw all these handsome young guys. Like, there was a series called He and She years ago. Jay Sandwich directed that. And Jack Cassidy was in that. And he played an egocentric kind of guy. And so they wanted the same thing with Ted Baxter. And they had seen all these young guys. A lot of them came back and did our show in different roles. But then Ted came in. He was the oldest of them all. And he read, and they had him come back. And he said the second time he went back, he saw this blue blazer. And he said he went and bought this blue blazer. Wore this blue blazer into the reading, and he got the job.
Wow, and the rest is history.
He was the last one cast. He was absolutely, you know, he's so brilliant in that role.
Well, what I mean, but with everybody you worked with Mary and even throw in Betty White, I mean, what an incredible experience. That,
and Valerie.
That, absolutely.
And Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, and Cloris.
And Cloris,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know at the time, I mean, at any point during this show, you know, how important the show would become in the history of television?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody did. We were just happy to get on the air. I remember we shot the pilot, and then CBS wanted us to redo some things. They were concerned about, in their conservatism, about Rhoda and being Jewish. And We couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And they had to make certain changes. Then we shot it again during the middle of the next week. And then we always worked around this big table like they did on the Dick Van Dyke Show. And days after that, the phone rings and Mary goes, and it turns out to be Bob Wood, the head of CBS. And she's talking and talking and talking. She hangs up and she turns around to all of us sitting there around the table with our scripts. She said, "Well, kids, you can send out the laundry. They picked us up for a year." And that's how we heard that we were picked up.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, that theme song says, "Love is all around." It really was.
Here's Betty White talking about how she got cast on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and her friendship with Mary from the archive of American television.
Early in the fourth season, I got a call one day. Could I do the next week's Mary Tyler Moore Show? The casting people called me. And I said, sure. They described that they wanted a happy homemaker who was a sickening, yucky, icky Betty White type. Well, what I found out long after the fact was they had written the part, and they said, "That's the kind we want." And Ethel Winant said, "Well, why don't you get Betty?" Ethel Winant was the casting director, big casting lady. "Why don't you get Betty?" They said, "Oh, no, Betty and Mary are friends, so if Betty doesn't get the part, it might make it awkward for Mary. We don't want to do that." Of course, you don't get every part you go in for. Right. But they read about 12 other gals, and they couldn't find anybody sickening enough. So Ethel said, "Why don't you do Betty? She's not going to hurt you. It's a one-shot anyway."
Right.
So the day I got the call, it sounded like a cute idea and funny because she was just lovely on camera. She was so sweet and so nice until the red lights went off, and then she was a monster. She was also the neighborhood nymphomaniac.
Right.
And yeah. I called Mary right after they called me. I said, "Guess who's doing your show next week?" She said, "Who?" I said, "Me." She said, "Oh, no, I don't have any input in the show. I don't say anything, but I can veto that." That's the way we go.
The legendary Betty White. Chuckles Bites the Dust is my favorite episode, I think, of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Roger, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's very visual, though. It's hard to play a clip.
It's close to the top. Yeah.
It's close to the top, yeah. And MeTV this afternoon is going to be playing like a whole afternoon of Mary Tyler Moore episodes. So you gotta catch it. They're doing the first to the last, but then they're doing some of the best in between. But the Mary Tyler Moore Show also had one of the best series finales in the histories of television. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Grant, could I say what I wanted to say now? Please.
Okay, Mary.
Well, I just wanted you to know that sometimes I get concerned about being a career woman. I get to thinking my job is too important to me. And I tell myself that the people I work with are just the people I work with and not my family. And last night I thought, what is a family anyway? They're just people who make you feel less alone and really loved. And that's what you've done for me. Thank you for being my family.
Now for the hard part. How do we leave this room?
The legendary Mary Tyler Moore passed away this week at the age of 80.